Earlier this year on Sunday Extra, we marked 20 years of the monthly. And as the end of 2025 approaches, another Australian independent publishing startup is reaching, this time, the big 1-0, achieving a decade of thoughtful output that's made a much bigger splash internationally. Claire Lehman is the founder and proprietor of Quillette, which describes itself as an Australian-based online magazine that focuses on long-form analysis and cultural commentary that's not partisan and relies on reason, science, and humanism as its guiding values. Claire, welcome to Sunday Extra and happy 10th birthday.
Thanks for having me, Julian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with the basics. What's in the name? What does Quillette actually mean?
Well, when I came up with the name, I was just riffing on words that might denote writing and, you know, a quill, quillette. But it turned out that quillette is actually a French word for a wicker off-cutting. You take a wicker off-cutting, you plant it into the ground and it grows into a tree. And I thought that was quite a nice metaphor for what an essay could do. You know, you can generate an idea, put it down into an essay, and it can go off into the world and grow into something much bigger. So that 10 years ago, I had this romantic notion of what an essay could do. Now I'm a bit more circumspect over, you know, the power of ideas to grow because there's so many bad ideas out there. But 10 years ago, yeah, I had this romantic notion and the word quillette fit in with that quite nicely.
And indeed, I suppose you've built the global associations with the word in English now through the publication. Claire, in terms of both where you were personally in your life and career, but also your intellectual purpose, why did you create Quillette?
Well, it wasn't created out of any kind of big plan or deliberate mission or project. I was actually, 10 years ago, I was actually studying a master's of forensic psychology. I was a mature age student. I'd gone back to university. And I enjoyed my studies, but I had a young child at home, a toddler, and I was finding it difficult to complete the required hours of unpaid placement. So you have to do about 1,000 unpaid hours as a psychologist. And, you know, I'm trying to pay bills. I've got a toddler. It just wasn't working out for me. So I quit my master's and out of desperation to sort of stave off the sense of failure and depression, I thought I've got to lean into a hobby until I get a professional job. So I thought I'll do a little online magazine for a few months and then I'll get a professional job. And so that I created the magazine on a whim, and I did find a professional job. I found a part-time job working at the National Center for Immunization Research, but it just so happened that the essays that we were publishing at Quillette got traction. 10 years ago, it was really easy to grow a large audience on Twitter. And links, for those who aren't aware, links are now de-boosted on Twitter. So it's very hard to, if you're a news organization, it's very hard to get a big readership through that platform. But a decade ago, it was different. And I could put out an essay and I was getting 20,000 viewers sort of within a day straight away, to the point where the very crappy infrastructure I had for the website was crashing. And, you know, so we got what you would call product market fit straight away. And so after about a year or 18 months, I thought, I can probably do this as a full-time job. Had a second child while I was on maternity leave. It did become my full-time job, and now it's 10 years later, obviously, it's my career.
Although something tells me that as a way of trying to avoid having to do 1,000 unpaid hours, starting up an independent publication might not necessarily achieve that end.
Yeah.
Looking back over the decade, Claire, what's on your list of the highest highs for Quillette and the lowest lows?
Oh, that's a great question. I suppose the highest highs are finding new talent. So we've had the opportunity to publish some really remarkable voices internationally. So a young man called Coleman Hughes was a student at Columbia University studying philosophy. And he wrote into us because he had an essay that he'd written for the student newspaper, but they wouldn't publish it. It was an essay, it would have been critical of identity politics back in 2018, 2019. Anyway, Coleman wrote a series of fabulous essays for us. He was invited to testify before Congress about reparations. He's now an established writer in his own right and has a best-selling book. So publishing him has been a highlight. And he told me personally that the existence of the magazine Quillette inspired him to become an essayist. So that was very special. But it's not just Coleman. So there are other talented people. Louise Perry told me that we were the first magazine to ever pay her for her work. So she's a writer from the UK. Rob Henderson, who's written a book about his life growing up in foster care, which is also a bestseller, he published his first essays with us. So discovering and nurturing talent is the most rewarding aspect of the job. And I know that's what makes my editors love their jobs as well. And then just, you know, from a selfish point of view, I've been invited all over the world to go to conferences and speak at events and go to parties. And that's a definite perk because you don't necessarily get paid a whole lot in journalism, but there are other benefits such as, you know, the travel and so on. So that's been a highlight.
What about the lowest lows?
I think over the years, we've suffered some unfair criticism and me personally, I suffered some unfair criticism. In the years of 2018 and 2019, I did come under attack quite a bit from people on the left in the United States. I think because it was Trump's first term, things were just extremely polarized. Not that they're much better now, but things were very polarized in the United States. And because I was publishing essays on topics that are somewhat controversial and somewhat taboo, such as, you know, the fact that personality traits and behavioral traits are hereditary. You know, we have genes play a big role in who we are. I was called things like a eugenicist. And we were very critical of identity politics in the early years. And so I was called a racist and that kind of thing. And I think some of that criticism was unfair. I was even listed in the Columbia Journalism Review as an information villain alongside Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, the guy who had the Washington Post journalist killed. I thought that was quite unfair. Like, I'm just, you know, a mum working from a house, stay-at-home mum working from a house in Australia. I'm not really quite up there with Putin's chef. He was also on the list. And Mohammed bin Salman.
So I take it you haven't had anyone assassinated in the last decade.
No, I have not. But thankfully, a lot of that has just died. Like, that's gone away, I think. And I think our fiercest critics in the United States realized during the COVID years that we weren't this rabid populist right-wing publication, because I came out being, you know, very strongly in defense of vaccines and other public health interventions. And that was actually a low point, in fact, because I then got on the wrong side of the anti-vaxxers. So I got death threats for that. So yeah, they would be the lowest lows, but you know, we've pulled through and thankfully I've got a thick skin, so I don't let that kind of criticism get to me too much.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Claire Lehman, founder and proprietor of Quillette, which has just turned 10. Claire, who reads Quillette and how many of them are there?
Well, we've got about 120,000 subscribers. When we have surveyed them, they're dispersed all over the world. So our largest segment is in the United States, so that's 50% of our audience. Then we've got about 12% or 14% in Canada, the UK, and we've got about 5% in Australia. But that, if you look at the population per capita, it sort of works out that you would expect the audience to be spread in that way. When we have surveyed people, you know, the average education level is postgraduate. So we're read by a lot of academics and former academics, people working in academia, people with postgraduate degrees. people who appreciate long form commentary, and not everyone. You know, I get feedback from readers saying, you know, I don't agree with everything you publish, but I appreciate being challenged, or appreciate being able to read stuff that I don't agree with and having to work out my own position on issues. So I think we've developed quite a nice readership of curious and open-minded individuals. I think in the early years, because we were criticizing identity politics so much, we did develop a more of a partisan audience, but they sort of, a lot of those readers left us during COVID. So now we're just left with the most open-minded folk, and that suits us better.
You mentioned 120,000 subscribers, and I understand that that's the essence of the business model. But if some intrepid investigative reporter was to follow the money at Quillette, what would they find?
Oh, well, that's a good question. So in 2019, I raised some angel investment from, I think, five people, a small amount of money, about $200,000. And then in 2021, I raised some seed funding, which wasn't a whole lot more, actually. It was about, so I've raised $800,000 altogether in 2019 and 2021. So Chris Anderson, the owner of TED, was a seed investor. Frederick Wester, who is the CEO and owner of Paradox Interactive, which is a video game company for nerds, invested. And he said to me, you know, I built a company that caters to nerds. And so that's why I respect your company, because you obviously cater, you know, you're catering to the same audience. But I haven't raised any what you would call institutional capital. So I haven't raised from any venture capital fund or any private equity fund. These are just people making small investments individually, more on a partly driven because they believe in the mission of the business, but partly also driven by a philanthropic motivation. Because I don't promise investors that I'm going to give them a massive return. Like, I'm upfront about that.
Over 10 years of publishing and having had the success with audiences that you have, I think it'd be likely that along the way you've had offers to buy Quillette. Have you ever been tempted to sell?
I haven't had any realistic or appealing offers. I've had a few offers, but they're not viable yet.
So in 2025, what is Quillette as a publication and a business compared to what it was in those earlier years? How's it changed?
Well, we're a much more mature business, as you can imagine. I have learned a lot over the decade. I've learned how to run a business, and we are a profitable business. So we are becoming a fairly well-oiled machine. And I have very talented staff who work very hard. And so on the business side, things are working quite smoothly. On the editorial side, the ecosystem is a lot busier now. So when we first arrived, we were the only kind of independent publication sort of covering the topics that we were. But that now there's many more publications doing the same kind of things. So it's harder to capture that attention because the ecosystem is quite saturated. So we have to try our very best to publish the highest quality essays that we can. We have to work harder and harder to find the best writers. So it's an ongoing journey and ongoing effort editorially on the business side. It's a much more well-oiled machine than it was a few years ago, and especially 10 years ago.
Now, I suspect, Claire, that you're not the sort of person who wants a trigger warning, so I won't give you one, but are you now, or have you ever been a member of the intellectual dark web?
Oh, God. Yeah, I was named in this article in 2019 written by Barry Weiss, I think because Eric Weinstein named me on Twitter in his thread that he wrote about this so-called group. And that at first I was excited to be included in this group of people, which included Sam Harris, who I admire, and, you know, Jordan Peterson and other people who I respected. But I think, you know, in 2025, I regret having been included in that group of people because, unfortunately, we're living in an era where it's very easy for people to become quite conspiratorial. And some of the people named in that group really went down some rabbit holes of conspiratorialism. And that's not what we were trying to do with Quillette. Like, we are trying to present essays and analysis that gives people understanding. We're not trying to engage in obscurantism, which I think some of the members of that group have been doing. So, yeah, I regret that.
Now, Claire, you've spoken about your parents being basically lefty hippies. Is your success as an entrepreneur a great disappointment to them?
No, not at all. And probably saying lefty hippies is a bit too strong, but they're certainly of the 70s, of the Gough Whitlam era. You know, they took me along to meet Gough Whitlam when I was a child, and they're certainly, you know, not business-oriented people. No, they're not disappointed at all, but they certainly haven't been able to offer me any business advice.
I suppose what I'm getting at also is what I think is an increasing problem, which is how do your parents feel about politics, which from the sound of things, or views which are quite different from the ones that they, I imagine, hold?
Yeah. Oh, I think there's enough agreement on values that it's fine. I mean, I still have, even though I'm considered by many to be centre-right or conservative, and I write for The Australian, and a lot of the stuff we publish at Quillette is small c conservative, you know, I have old friends who are hardcore lefties. And I think if you share the values that, you know, of humanism, which is that people are good, you know, promoting the flourishing of people is, you know, a worthy goal. We might disagree on how to do that, but as long as we agree on, you know, basic values, I think it's totally fine to preserve relationships and friendships. And the other thing is, I just think that people over a certain age are just a bit more relaxed, particularly in this country. It might be different in places where it's more polarized, but I find Australians to be refreshingly relaxed when it comes to politics, and we're able to have friendships and relationships not based on, you know, shared political outlooks.
That's interesting. Yeah. Do you think there is anything Australian per se about Quillette, or any advantages of being the publisher of an international magazine like Quillette from Australia?
There's definitely been an advantage in that Australia is, because Australia is less polarized, and because it's the debate is less heated here, that gives us a bit more freedom, and we don't have to worry about, you know, people coming down to our office and banging on the windows and graffitiing our office or firebombing it and so on.
Which is particularly bad when you work from home.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the political climate here has been good for having an ideas-based journal that does go into controversial topics from time to time. I think in some other places it would be too risky, unfortunately.
And Claire, do you look ahead to a 20th birthday for Quillette? Do you have major plans or different plans for the next decade?
Well, my goal has always been to build an institution, and I knew that it would be a slow process to build an institution. I never wanted to create something and just ramp it up and scale up and then exit, as what a lot of companies or startups do, particularly in the United States. The goal has been to build something that people can rely on and trust. So in 20 years from now, hopefully we're double the size we are or triple the size. And hopefully I still have one or two of my current editors still working for me, and hopefully we're respected and admired globally as a trusted brand that still publishes long-form analytical commentary of the highest quality level.
Well, happy 10th birthday to Quillette. And Claire Lehman, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks for having me.
And Claire is the founder, publisher, and owner of the online magazine that you can find at Quillette.com.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.